Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
We're going to talk about some of the dynamics involved. And again, I think I said last week, I just hate to use this phrase because it gets used so often that maybe it doesn't have the kind of meaning that I'd like it to have. But victorious Christian living. Everybody say victorious Christian living. I doubt that there's a person in here that's a Christian that we all wouldn't affirm that, you know what? We want to live a victorious Christian life and we can live a victorious life. But I think probably all of us would also say, but I'm not sure that I'm doing it fully successfully. Are you with me? Right? And, you know, it's an easy thing to become a Christian. Would you agree with that? It's relatively easy in the sense that, okay, there may be a few thought bumps along the way when you start talking about what you need to believe to become one. But, you know, the process, in other words, entering into the family of God and becoming a child of God is a relatively straightforward, easy process. But how many of you would also agree, but to live out the Christian life is a different story? Okay? It's not that it's impossible, obviously, but to do it really successfully takes quite a bit of work. Would you agree with that? Okay? Cool. And so I want to, you know, the typical believer when he comes to Christ, when they come to Christ, have made a decision to follow the Lord. And along the way, especially determining, you know, whenever you came to Christ, in other words, later in life, or for me, I came to Christ when I was just a child. But depending on where you came to Christ, all of us endeavored to live a godly Christian life. And especially if you came to Christ later on in life, and I don't mean old later on, but you know, you're past the child stage and maybe in your young adulthood and you came to Christ then, there's that thing on the inside of us that just says, you know what, I want to do this right. Amen? But when we came to Christ, if we had areas of our life that we were weak in, if we had maybe destructive habits that we were a part of, if we had propensities to do something, if maybe our language was bad, or maybe when we came to Christ, you know, anger was an issue for us, or stealing, or, you know, lying, I don't know, just name the different things that, how many of you know we can bring that into the family of God? Isn't that right? There's times, it's not that it's never happened, but it's not the norm that if you had a difficulty, let's say, with a substance, you had a substance abuse problem, maybe a drug abuse problem or a alcohol abuse problem, and you came to a point of belief in Christ and you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, how many of you know that most of the time that difficulty came with you? Am I right? I'm just trying to set the stage for all of this here. And then when you gave your life to Christ, man, there was that excitement and there might have been momentary victory in some of those areas of life. But much of the time, and it seems like it's in a significant amount of people, much of the time, they find themselves going around the same bush, succumbing to the same temptation over and over and over and over again. Am I off base? No, it's like, okay, wow. So we look at that and go, okay, so that brought a lot of consternation on the inside. It's like, man, I want to have victory in this area. So maybe we ask a parent, maybe we ask a friend, maybe ask a spouse, a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ. Maybe you went to somebody and said, man, I just want to get victory in this area of my life or these areas of my life. And we ask questions and we get a bunch of different responses. Isn't that right? And so we'll maybe get a response like this. And this is kind of a chronological era of at least the last maybe 100 years in the body of Christ. We might get a response that says, well, I'll tell you what your problem is. You just need to pray more and you need to read the word more. So we go, okay, cool. Well, that's it. And so we pray more. We read the word more. We might have a little bit of momentary spike in success. But how many of you know after a while, how many of you know the enemy doesn't give up? After a little while, what do we do? Many people find themselves right back in the same deal, right? Then there was a time, now we're up to the late 60s, middle 60s, early 70s. Then we come to a point in time that says, well, you know what? Here's the problem. You're not vocal enough about your witness for Christ. And so that gave birth to standing on a street corner and passing out tracts. And it's like, you not having victory in your life, you just need to be a little bit more vocal in your witness for Christ. Well, geez, that's not bad. I mean, you can't say that the first one, praying or reading the word more, you can't say that's wrong, because that's... How many of you know you can't go wrong doing that? But that's not the fix. Here, that's the issue. And, okay, I just need to go, all right, well, I need to go out and I need to, especially back then, I can remember for myself, I was a younger child then, but I can remember going out and standing on the street corner with my pastor, with whoever else. I've passed out thousands of tracts. And you might find a momentary spike in victory, but you know, guess what? What comes back? Many times, the same old, same old, same old. Then, how many of you remember the charismatic move? Okay? Charismatic move. Man, we found that people were experiencing this thing called glossolalia, or speaking in other tongues, and man, it found itself in congregations that were not of that sort of a background, and so, well, there's your answer. I'm telling you why you're not experiencing victory in Christ. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. I like to do that every once in a while because I'm not that kind of a preacher. It's just, yeah! Or to say it the way Richard Nixon would say, you need the Holy Ghost. Sorry. There's your answer. You just need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need your prayer language. You need to speak in tongues every day, and you'll find victory in that area of your life. Cool? So, you go forward at a service. Maybe you went to a thing like a Full Gospel Businessmen's. Boy, there's a name you don't hear very often anymore, huh? You go to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, or maybe you're involved in a congregation that wasn't termed Full Gospel, but whatever, you received your prayer language and you were so happy and you experienced, and certainly there is, and how many of you know, receiving your prayer language is not a bad deal. In fact, it's a really good deal. I would recommend it to all. But guess what? What we found is tongue talkers go around the same bush. There might be a point of victory for a little while, but guess what? After a little while, if you're not careful, you'll find the same what? The same enemy comes back with the same temptations that we've given into for years, and guess what? We can pray in tongues in the morning, and in the afternoon, do the exact same thing. Amen? Then we come along a few years ago, well, quite a few years ago, 30, what is it? 30 years, 92. So, you come along to probably 40 years ago now, teaching of the authority of the believer, who you are. You just need to find out who you are in Jesus Christ. Bless God, you're the head, not the tail. You're above and you're not beneath. You're a blood-bought child of God. You just need to, I'll tell you what, you need to do it just like Jesus did it. When temptation came, he quote the word, and poof, you'll have victory. Okay, so we then pulled out pages of scriptures that we need to learn. Now, that's not wrong. And boy, I tell you what, better quoting the word than anything else. But guess what? You can find a momentary spike in success. But I know people that pray and read the word, that have a vocal witness for Christ, that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, received their prayer language, and speak in other tongues, and who can quote more scriptures than you can imagine, that find themselves battling the same issues today that they did 20 years ago, and succumbing to the same sin, temptation, year in, year out. Are you with me? None of those things are wrong, and I would encourage all of those things. But if we have the idea that any one of those things is the silver bullet, we're missing it. So one of the things that we don't talk about a whole lot, in fact, I won't say dogmatically, but I've talked about sin and its dynamics a little bit, and a lot of people don't like you to talk about sin because you're focusing on the wrong thing. Right? So let's just pretend it doesn't exist. But the dynamics of temptation is what I'm going to delve into at first. Temptation, because you see, sin doesn't come without temptation. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Seeing that we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's run with patience." Everybody say patience. There's a key, but that's not what we're going to focus on today. Let's run with patience the race that's set before us. But it says, first of all, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside every weight. And then this next phrase is a phrase that's very easy to quickly get over, to pass over. And it says, the sin which does, in the King James, it says, does so easily beset us. In the New King James, it says, and let's lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, which word in that thing causes you to shudder just a little bit? There's a word in there that causes me to shudder just a little bit. It's the word easily. Easily. It says that a sin, now Paul's writing to the Hebrew church, and he said that there's a sin, and he's encouraging the body of Christ. That's you and I, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's encouraging the body of Christ to lay aside the weight and the sin. In other words, what he's saying is, gain victory over the sins which easily trip you up. Now, when you hear the word easy, I don't know what that brings up to you, but that an easy opponent hardly makes you sweat, right? It's kind of like a basketball team that, you know, invokes the mercy rule. Or a baseball team that so far ahead, the mercy rule comes into play. It says here, lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I'm going to tell you guys, I believe there's a significant amount of people in the body of Christ that are easily ensnared in the same predictable sins over and over and over and over and over again. Now you then come to a place of another dynamic comes involved and says, oh, well, your problem is that you're working at it. You just need to let the Lord live through you. What does that mean? Serious. Because that's a big one today. In fact, the instant you start talking about sin and the instant you start talking about us doing something about it, today there's a message out there that is very, very, very heavy on grace. And the instant you pull people to a responsibility, it's listen, you're talking about working at it too hard. We just need the grace of God. We do need His grace. Thank God for it, because it's His ability that He passes to us where we could do nothing. Thank God for that. This is the one that scares me the most in all of this. Every pastor, and I'm just getting to the preamble, hopefully not the pre-ramble. Every pastor in America that is counseled, folks, goes through this. First of all, their heart hurts. Okay, now how long have you been battling this? Well, all my life. Okay, cool. The end of the conversation, and I always bring the conversation to this point. So, do you want victory over this? And what's every Christian going to say? Yes. Oh, yes. Okay, how hard are you willing to work at it? Now, fidget starts happening, right? How hard do you want to work at this? I don't know how many times I've had people respond back and go, I don't know that I should have to work at it, because Jesus is the one that already won the victory on the cross. It's like, okay, He did. You're right. But are you victorious? Are you with me? Now turn to your neighbor and say, breathe deep. It's going to be all okay, all right? Jesus did win the victory for us on the cross, but how many of you know the victory that He won is so that we can be successful in battle? Ooh, there you go, in battle. Everybody say, in battle. That means we got to do something, guys. And then here's the one that breaks my heart the most. Well, thank God, He forgives. And I'm thankful that He does forgive. But it's usually said in such a way, well, you know, if we fail, God knows, and He just forgives. And it's like, okay, I'll step a little further and go, all right, how many times have you asked forgiveness for this exact same thing? Oh, many times. Do you think we ought to work on that? I'll usually get a response, well, you know, I just asked the Lord to give me victory in this. How many of you know I think God may be saying, hey, I've won a victory for you, but when you start to work on this, then we'll bring some victory. Amen? Okay, are you with me? I feel like some of you are like, uh-oh, this is going to get kind of whatever. So let's talk about temptation. How many of you ever experienced, anybody in here ever experienced temptation? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, right, the rest of you, are you alive? I don't know. Temptation comes, listen. When temptation comes, write this down. When temptation comes, the battle begins. And there's an instant battle for the believer. Why is there an instant battle for the believer? The reason there is because the believer that's been born again, of which Jesus is their Lord and Savior, how many of you know that when you sin, you know it instantly? Isn't that right? And we know it because of what? Because of the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us. We might even say this, because how many of you know your conscience convicts you? It's really the Holy Spirit of God that does. And it's your spirit that's been recreated after God. You know instantly. And that's why, you know, we usually don't need to be told that we've just sinned. Are you with me? But what we may need to be told is how we begin to gain victory in this. So listen. We need to stop and think about the dynamics. I've never spoke about this that I'm aware of. We've never talked very much about the dynamics of temptation. Because listen, temptation always accompanies sin. And so when it happens, the battle has begun. And what's the battle between? Your flesh, right? And what? Your spirit. Your flesh is wanting to, yeah, do it. But your spirit is going, oh, that's not right. No, don't do that. That's not good. Because your spirit agrees with God. Your spirit agrees with the Word. And your spirit, you got that war and it's like, oh, no, don't. Ah, you kind of got this tug of war. The problem is many people don't have a tug of war. Flesh just wins. Right? And so we're a tripart being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Are you with me? It's called a trichotomy of man. Never forget this. We're not going to delve into this deeply, but two against one will always win. We said that when we were on the playground as little elementary kids. Two against one will always win. So the fulcrum in this, flesh, spirit, what's in the middle? Your soulish realm. What's in your soulish realm? Your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? So guess what? This morning, how many of you, it's okay if you raise your hand, how many of you weren't really just the greatest excited about coming to church this morning? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. We still love you. I might have raised my hand there too, but you know. Right? But the idea, now this is a silly example, but your body just kind of wants to stay just like cold. Who wants to go out in -5 degree weather and start a stupid car? And get dressed. And I can imagine for you ladies that, you know, I don't know how long it takes you to get ready, but you know, maybe a little bit longer than a guy. I don't know. But it's like, who wants to do that? You know, and especially now with the internet, it's like, we could just watch it on Ustream. But what happened? You made a decision. Your soulish realm, now your spirit, whether you realize it or not, your spirit wants to gather together as the body of Christ and wants to come and hear the word and wants to stand before God and worship God. But you made a decision that said, get up, body, and get yourself dressed and get in the car and get to church. Now, sometimes my mind has to get that forceful, right? Get up. Okay. So two against one wins. But you know what? If your mind would have said, you know, it is, it's kind of cold. And you know what? I'm not sure that my car is going to start, you know, so I won't even try. I'm not sure my car is going to start. And besides, the roads are slippery. You know, well, I'd hate to go out there and have an accident. I need to be safe, right? What are you going to do? You're staying in bed. Why? Because your mind sided with your flesh. Okay, that's a very simplistic deal, but that's what takes place in temptation. Did you know when you're tempted to sin and you sin, you chose to. You chose to. No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. I just found myself there. No, you didn't. Okay, those things can be split second and they can get kind of blurry. But when we give in and succumb to temptation, here's the problem. In these things that maybe old school would say, in these besetting sins, in these sins that just continually dog believers, they're battling the same thing years down the road that they battled whenever. Well, you're battling pornography. Well, when did you come across pornography? Well, my big brother had a magazine and I looked at that magazine, man, I battled it ever since. And now you're 50? Yeah, man, and I'm still battling it. Okay, my heart goes out to you. It really does. But then the big boy in me and says, you know what? You haven't given any attention to gaining victory in this area of your life. Can we call a spade a spade? That's the truth. I've roped in arenas 20 years ago that I guarantee you I could go to that same arena today, and we're all older now, but I could go to that same arena today and I'll guarantee you there would be a group of those guys that are no better ropers today than they were 20 years ago. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're bad. It's roping. So do whatever you want to do. But the idea is this. If they tried to get better for the last 20 years and had some mentoring along the way for the last 20 years, guess what? They would be better. Amen? Are you with me? Have you ever golfed with anybody that is just as bad a golfer? Are you with me? Right? Or whatever it is. Why is that? And it's okay if they want to do that. This is silly examples, but the analogy to the Christian life is very similar. Why do you not progress in something? Because you don't give yourself to it. Amen? Okay, starting to get tight. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all good. It's all good. Resisting temptation involves a battle. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's incredible that we can start off as believers with a resolve to live out the Christian life, but when temptation comes and continually presents itself, we weaken and then finally succumb. This process happens over and over and over and over ad infinitum in many Christians' life. Temptations recur frequently, and unfortunately many succumb to these. Now look, there's something there in the first part of that verse that's a clue to this. Paul says we wrestle. Everybody say wrestle. Now I know some would say, no, we don't need to wrestle because Jesus won the victory on the cross. Well, inform the Apostle Paul of that. The Apostle Paul wrote after Jesus ascended up on high. We are New Testament in Ephesians. Are you with me? And it says, we wrestle not. So that means that we are wrestling, but he's just telling us what we're not wrestling against. He says, you know, it's not an issue with the flesh. It's an issue that involves what? If I could say it this way, it's a spiritual battle. Everybody say a spiritual battle. And just for your knowledge, when it says against powers, principalities, and all of that, it lists those out. That's a hierarchy of Satan's kingdom. Are you with me? Some would go, now how do you know? How many of you know there's angels and there's archangels? There's a level. Are you with me? So here's what the enemy can do. No, he can't do anything. He's been defeated. You're right, he's defeated, but there's many Christians that obviously aren't enforcing that defeat. Because there's a continual failure over and over and over again. How many of you know that elementary wrestling is not the same as high school wrestling? What is it? It's a different level. If an elementary kid went up against a junior high kid, who would you bet on? Junior high, why? Stronger, smarter, the whole nine yards. Okay? High school wrestlers going up against a college wrestler. Who's going to win? Probably. College. College wrestler going up against an Olympic athlete. Probably the Olympic athlete's going to win. You get the idea, right? Did you know what? You can begin to gain victory in some areas of your life, but how many of you know the kingdom of darkness can go a little bit stronger. So what does that mean? I hear some of you just go, you mean I have to stay engaged the whole time? Yep. We wrestle not. In a wrestling match, it's interesting. When you see a good wrestling match, okay, I'm not talking about a one-sided wrestling match, but a good wrestling match, pretty incredible to watch, kind of brutal. I myself just never wanted to roll around on a mat with another sweaty man. I don't know. I just... just wasn't my cup of tea. But I appreciate those that do it well, just as I appreciate Christians that are continually growing in their walk with God and leading a victorious Christian life. Let me say this. I didn't say this at the beginning, but let me tell you what. A Christian leading a victorious Christian life is the single greatest witness to the power of God of anything that we can give. How many of you know the world, guys, needs to see Christians at their best? Amen? When the world looks at the body of Christ and sees the same bushes and no success going around the same bush, what does that say? You ever thought about that before? What does that say to the world? The world looks at, can look at us and go, you know what? You're no different than I am. Ooh, I just heard a thought. Somebody asked me once, they say, when you say that, Pastor, do you really hear a thought? I really do. It's weird, kind of. I really hear just a thought that just goes, ooh. But you know what? We are no different. Ooh. Okay. That was the thought I heard. You're right. Intrinsically, a human is a human is a human. But we've identified ourselves with a different family. We've identified ourselves with the family of God. We use a term to define ourselves called Christian. How many of you know how Christians live ought to be distinctly different than how those that are not Christians? Am I right or wrong? Okay, cool. Some of you are going, just move on. Okay, we're just going to set this stage and then we're going to delve next time together. We're going to delve further into this thing of temptation. What's its process? Because if you don't understand its process, you can be tripped up by it very easily. In temptation, let me just say this. Temptation, the process, is the same almost always. Names, dates, places will change, but how it works is very much the same. A great wrestler, Paul uses that term, that we're in a wrestling match. A great wrestler possesses, and I wrote down six things, okay? There may be more, but these are things that we're going to delve upon throughout this entire study. First of all, a great wrestler is strong. So just ask yourself this question. How strong are you in Christ? Now, a lot of people, if you just answer that real quickly, you probably haven't thought deeply enough about it. How strong are you in Christ? Listen, we may have some Popeyes in the body of Christ that have incredible forearms, but chicken legs. Are you with me? And how many of you know you can't be strong in Christ only meaning that there's an area that you're real strong in, but then other areas you have Popeye legs, chicken legs, right? How, if you had to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being super strong, how would you rate yourself? Now listen, now stop and think about this. What does it take to become stronger? And there's a few people in the room that are in the health fitness world. And so don't take any offense to what I'm going to say. But in the fitness world, there's been all sorts of gadgets that's been invented that's going to be the silver bullet. Right? You've seen them all. You know what? All you got to do, you only have to give yourself 20 minutes a day, 3 days a week, and you can look just like this. Right? And the guy just ripples. I don't. Okay? Right? And you see the guy. The guy stands up and I'm telling you, you look at that guy and you just go, wow. All right? He's ripped. Ripped. And it gives the impression that this guy started out just normal Joe. You mean all I got to do is do it 20 minutes a day? Great, I'll do it. And in 3 weeks, you know the guy that did that? He probably used something very uncreative called dumbbells. Wow, how long have they been around? Guys, as soon as they could drill a hole through a rock, dumbbells have been around. Are you with me? And guess what? Listen, this is where many believers miss it when they think about this thing of being strong in Christ. Being strong in Christ is not hearing some new revelation every week. Being strong in Christ is becoming great friends with those simple dumbbells. over and over and over and over. Well, I'm tired of hearing the same thing. Well, tough. If you want to get strong, you're going to go through more repetitions. Well, I'd like to hear something new. Okay, something new can maybe be a breath of fresh air, but don't think something new is going to cause you, listen real close, don't think something new is going to cause you to be able to abandon the tried and true so that you can now just on this new revelation just spend 3 days a week, 20 minutes a day, and you too can be a super spiritual giant. Now, I'm going to tell you what, guys. It comes back and getting real familiar with those dumbbells. You mean I have to pray every day? Yep. And you can't pray, Lord, I'm really tired, just ditto of what I prayed yesterday. Maybe you know you can't copy and paste pray with God. Right? We could talk about strength, but you get the idea. And then skill. Skill is one of these things that I find is one of the greatest missing things in the body of Christ. Skill. What do you mean skill? I just thought all you had to do, Pastor, is just love God and pray. Okay, that's a great start. Love God and pray. But would you tell that to a young football player in elementary school, or a young wrestler, or a, ladies, I need to involve you, or a young gymnast, or a young volleyball player? Would you just tell them, just love the game and go out and throw the ball around and honey, you'll be great. What do you want to get those young people involved in? You want to tie them to who? A coach. It's one of the biggest things that's missing in the body of Christ today. In fact, years ago in the early ancient church, when somebody came into Christ, it wasn't just, so you came and you went forward? Cool, welcome. They got tied to somebody for a significant amount of time. Nobody needs to teach me how to love God. Okay, nobody necessarily teaches you the passion, but somebody can teach you how to be a Christian. Well, I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. In fact, Scripture says, I need no teacher. Okay. That's what you believe. If that's what you believe all that means, then go ahead and go right around your same bush for the next 20 years. Just keep going around it and beat you a great big old beaten path around that thing. But maybe, have you ever thought of submitting yourself to somebody to look at you and say, you know, speak into my life. I want to know, is my stance right when I get ready to shoot this shot? Is my hands right? Am I holding the bat right? How am I doing at boxing? What could I do different? Are you with me? How many times do we have people truly invited on purpose for one reason? Because they want to get more skillful as a Christian. Well, I just don't think you need skill. I just think you need to love God. Hey, I know a lot of Christians that really love the Lord. But they go around the same bush. Year in and year out. Month in, month out. Week in, week out. They go around the same bush of defeat. Are you with me? Don't give up on me now. Develop skill. Right? Have somebody look at you and you go, you know what? Because what's really amazing is how quickly you can progress. Oh, there's some things that that progress isn't just instant. But you know what? Have you ever swung a golf club or swung a rope and somebody look at you and go, you know what? If you'll just do this, that you just do it and you go, ugh. Try snowboarding with your wrong foot forward. You get your wrong foot forward. I didn't know you're supposed to have one foot forward that was right. Bless God, I don't need it. I got 2 feet and I'm doing this one forward. Okay, cool. Great. So then just get real used to going and starting to do your deal and somebody grab you by the legs every little bit and just go, and just get the stuffings beat out of you. Right? And then all of a sudden, just having somebody ask me a very simple question. They said, well, which foot do you have going forward? And it's like, does it matter? They go, yep. And it's like, which one do you go forward? Well, there's a real easy way to figure that out. Really? So I realized that I had spent a whole day with the wrong foot forward and absolutely got the stuffings beat out of me. I was sore for 2 weeks. Right? Whew. So I was ready to give up. Have you ever known any Christians? Well, you just got to love God and pray. Well, wait a minute. In the athletic world, they'd say, well, you just got to practice. Uh-uh, that's wrong. Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You can practice wrong your whole life and never get any better. The instant I found out that I had my wrong foot forward, I thought, all right, I'm going to give this one more try. And guess what? In an hour, I just thought the ski gods had just descended upon Pomerel. It was the easiest thing in the whole world. Did you know what? If you've never had somebody come alongside of you as a Christian and say, you know what? Now listen, don't ask somebody that's at your same skill level that doesn't know which foot should go forward. Well, I don't know. This is the one I put forward. Well, you might want to ask somebody that knows. So make sure that that person that speaks into your life is somebody that really does know, because they could be just like you. Right? Ask somebody that knows and just say, you know what, would you mind spending some time with me over the next little bit? Because you know what, I want victory in this area of my life. Could you help me and watch how I'm swinging? Watch how I'm doing this thing called the Christian life. Could you look at me? Now, how many of you know that takes then humility to then stop and go, well, you know, for me, the way a lot of Christians are, well, you know what? I think you ought to have your other foot forward. Well, this is the one that my mom does, and this is the one I'm going to do. Okay, but I'm telling you. Well, what do you know? Well, I've only been a snowboarder for the last 20 years. Well, you know, all I do is I just love snowboarding. Okay, just go ahead and get the stuffings beat out of you for the next 20 years. Amen. I need to run along. Agility. Agility. Here's how I'm going to define agility. Of being aware of what's going on around you. When Texas A&M played OU here a few weeks ago, I never knew who won the Heisman or anything like that. And I found out that Johnny Football was playing. And I didn't know who Johnny Football was. But there was a guy on the screen that caught my attention really quick. And it happened to just be old Johnny Football himself. What's his name? Johnny Manziel? I watched that guy and I thought, ooh, this dude's only 6 foot tall, but boy, is this dude agile. Now, some people look at agile and think it just means quickness or whatever, but I think agile involves way more than that for me. This is how I'm defining it. This is in my dictionary, and that's how I'm going to stay with it. It's this: being aware of what's around you at all times. I would have never watched the Aggies play the Sooners. Don't care for either one of those teams. It's not that they're bad. It's just they didn't want to waste my time. But this guy riveted me to the screen. He really did. Because he's as agile as anybody I've ever seen play. He's going to be fun to watch for the next 4 years. Because that guy had a presence on the field of what was around him. Nobody cold cocked him. He got tackled many times, but nobody cold cocked him. Nobody just two guys running just and out of the blue just nailed him. Not at all. Why? He was fully aware of what's going on. Do you know, it's amazing to me how many Christians are like, well, I just found myself right there, and there I was, and it just flew, but I found myself, and I was just drunkard and skunk. Well, have you battled alcohol for a while? Well, yeah, my whole life, and I just found myself, but now I just got, I came out of there, and I just realized I'm drunk. Get a clue. Get agile. How did you find yourself? Well, my buddy. And I said, well, now stop. Now, who was this buddy? Oh, we used to drink together before I gave my heart to Christ. So did you honestly think that when your buddy calls, you're going to go to the Y and work out? Get a clue. Find out what's around you. Now, you battled pornography for how long? Oh, that's 20 years of my life. Cool. And you've just found yourself spending the next 3 hours looking at porn. Yeah, how did you get there? Well, you know, I was just out the mall and went by Victoria's Secret. I was on the internet. Really? You were just on the internet. Where did you go? Well, you know, I just found myself there. It's like, get a clue. If you can't get on the internet without going there, blow your computer up. Serious. Do something. I don't want to come across frustrated. I guess I probably already blew that, didn't I? But I just look at it and I go, seriously? I don't know how many guys I've talked with that battle pornography. I say, all right, where does this usually happen? On computer, okay, in the middle of the night, It's like, okay, what is the common thread here? It's called a computer. And at this stage of your life, you can't handle one. So get rid of it. Come on. Oh, I need a computer. Oh, no. No, you don't. The world lived for centuries without one. Just how serious do you want to be to get victory over that area of your life? And if you just think you need a computer all that bad, then you know what? Run around that circle for the next 20 years. Pastor, that's just not very compassionate. Well, how serious do you want to be?
Well, geez, when he gave me that pipe, I didn't know he put marijuana in it. Besides, I thought they were brownies.
Amen? I can just hear somebody say, oh, brother, I hope he doesn't get on something that I'm going around the bush on. Here's the thing. We need to be well prepared. Amen? Well prepared. If you're going to walk away with some points. In the battle of temptation, you've got to be well prepared. So that involves all these things that at least we've talked about, and there's three more that we'll talk about. Secondly, we got to have a fierce determination. Everybody say fierce. Now listen, I'm talking down and dirty, serious game face on fierce when it comes to temptation. Right? Not this kind of deal that when you play with people that play a card game or play a board game, it's like they the way they play, they obviously don't give a rip whether they're going to win or not. Are you with me? Oh, I just love to sit at the table and enjoy people. It's like, then don't keep score. I'm not a very competitive guy, as everyone can tell. I just figure, you know what, if you're going to play a game and keep score, then why not win? Because it's really fun to win. You don't need to rub it in anybody's face or anything like that. You don't need to smack talk or anything like that. But listen, with temptation, we got to have a fierce determination. Fierce determination. That's down and dirty, game face on. It's like, you know what? You're coming against me, and I am not going down. I am not going to be easily ensnared. Amen? It's kind of like the picture of the frog that was swallowed by the pelican, that the only thing you see is the frog's hands are on the outside. The pelican has gone and swallowed that frog, but the frog's hands are on the outside, choking the pelican. Are you with me? You see, there's so many Christians. Listen, in the process of temptation, there's so many Christians that get to a spot. And here's what I encourage you. Never allow yourself to get to this spot. Most Christians do. That's why they fail over and over and over in the same thing. They get to a spot and they just do the lay down deal because they're tired. Their arms are tired. Everything's tired. They're just tired of the battle. And then listen, then they'll get this thought. I believe this thought is planted there by the enemy. Well, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. You're not injuring anybody. Besides that, God will forgive you. I don't know how many times in a counseling session I'll listen to somebody and that's all they'll talk about. We're talking about an issue that they've struggled with for years and years and years. And in a counseling session, all they'll bring up, well, you know what? I'm just so thankful that God forgives. Hey, listen, we can be thankful that God forgives, but the vibe that you're bringing it out is as if, you know what? You can just continue to do this and God will just keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And then the ones that have been around a full gospel deal, they'll throw what they say is the punch card. They'll put the aces page down and they'll look at me and say, well, it's not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I'm just like, where'd that come from? What you're just trying to tell me, sir or ma'am, what you're just trying to tell me is no big deal if you just continue down this road of going the same thing, because after all, it's not injuring anybody. How many of you know sin always injures people? Always injures people. And then they end up saying, well, it's not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I've had even some people look at me and say, God has to forgive me. Cool, just lay down and die then. Where's the fierce determination that says, you know what? Come hell or high water, I am going to gain victory in this area of my life. Whatever it takes. If I have to go and get rid of my smartphone and get rid of my computer, I'll get rid of it. If I have to have somebody, I'm talking about the person that maybe has battled pornography. You know what? If you have to have somebody else sort through the mail before you see the JCPenney's catalog that has pictures of bras on sale, then get with the program and do it. Have somebody sort through the mail. Well, that's just too extreme. It all depends on how much victory you want. And then the third thing, walk away with this. These battles really can be won. They can be won. Amen. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.